Oh, my abiding memories of Jerry is a gentleman who was a great friend going back to when, I guess, we were 14, 15 years of age, when we start competing against one another in the Irish Schools Championships and then in the Underage and Junior Championships. And throughout those early years, Jerry never, ever really changed. He was always quite serious in many ways, funny in other ways. Had a wonderful use of the English language. He was almost poetic in many ways. He was a very, 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 very hard worker when it came to his training. And he was a very proud, proud Kerry man, despite the fact he lived in Dublin for most of his adult life. And poor old Jerry, you know, we're at that stage in life now where people are dropping all around us. And gosh, last couple of weeks ago, we lost... months ago, Pat Hooper, and last month, Joe Cooper, and all of a sudden it really strikes home when one of your own training mates and a guy that you've been friendly with just moves on, and I'm very saddened by it.
Did you see his competitive edge when you met him first in those early days?
Oh, there's no question about it. Jerry was one of the guys you'd feared most when it came into the championship races. I had as much respect for Jerry Kiernan as Jerry Kiernan had for me, or had for John Tracy or Dick Hooper or Pat Hooper. He was one of the boys. He was one knocking on the door all the time. And it was probably later on when Jerry really began to excel more as an international athlete, probably in his mid-20s on, and obviously became a dominant force on the roads, a dominant force in marathon running. But when you train with a person for a considerable time, you really get to know every fiber of their mind and body when you put such hard work in and when you're able to relate to one another all the time. So Jerry had it all as an athlete. He was fiercely tough to train with and fiercely competitive.
I know there was a little bit of friendly rivalry between you, because have a listen to this now, Eamon. Back in 2012, he spoke to the presenter of this show back then, Uaisí Fogarty. This is a little snippet about yourself and Jerry.
Well, you see, I wasn't really a track runner. I mean, the likes of Coughlin would hammer me over a mile, but I would destroy him over a marathon, or I would destroy him in anything over 5 or 6 miles.
So he was saying he'd destroy you in anything over 5 or 6 miles. Was that friendly banter going on across all of your career?
I'd love to know what races he hammered me over 5 or 6 miles. Jerry had it right there, really. I was training for the mile. I was training for the 5,000 metres. I wasn't really training for the marathon. And while Jerry was a sub-4-minute miler, and he was around 13:39 maybe for 5,000 metres, which were close to being world-class times way back then, Jerry's true distance was the 10 miles up, really. He was fantastic. A half marathon, marathon. He ran about 46, 47 minutes for 10 miles. But we had enough respect to hammer one another in training. And we brought the best out of one another in training, anytime we trained against one another. And it allowed him to go on to do more distance races than when, I was running the mile, 1,500 and 3 and 5,000 metres.
Eamon, stay with us a moment. We're also joined by John Tracy, former Olympian and world champion. John, you're welcome to Terrace Talk.
Thank you very much, Eamon.
Great to chat to you this evening. John, what made Jerry Kiernan different? What made him stand out?
Eamon touched on it here. He was a very hard trainer, worked extremely hard, but he was a bit of a philosopher as well. And as Eamon said, you knew he read a lot, and he had an opinion on absolutely everything. And I suppose I got to know Jerry probably in the early 80s when I was living in Dundrum at the time. And we did a lot of the long runs together in 1981, 82, 83, early parts of 83. And we just run up the Dublin Mountains and do our 23-mile run on a Sunday morning. And you kind of, when you're out in the roads with about 10 other guys, and Jerry's with you, and you're sharing stories, and you actually do get to know people in terms of their philosophies in life, and as you say, he's very very opinionated, and you know, before you know it, your 23 miles would be done because you'd have chatted all the way. Now, all those kind of runs, I would say, not for the weak of spirit anyway. They were always run at a decent pace. But he was a great trainer, and you certainly be entertained by him when you were out running with him. I'll put it like that for you.
He was very entertaining, even in his later years as a coach and also as an analyst on RT. You mentioned that he was almost like a philosopher. Was he extremely intelligent?
I would say he was very well read, and he thought about things extremely well, and he came up with his own opinions of it, which he was happy to share with everyone. He was very intelligent. I think probably the thing I liked about Gerry was that he was into literature. He liked a good book. He liked well written books. True, I would imagine, to the Kerry spirit in terms of their writing skills and the home of writing in Ireland, probably. So he was very close to his own home when it came to good literature, and he appreciated it. So you definitely knew he was from that ilk. He wouldn't be the run-of-the-mill type athlete, but he certainly was very well read, and he thought about things a lot, and he analysed things. And as you saw on television later on, when he was analysing track and field from around the world, he had certainly strong opinions, but he also had a very good analytical brain, and he could dissect things. And more times you could bet on him, really, in terms of some of the predictions he was making. I'd say you'd certainly be richer if you went with Gerry's predictions.
John, we're going to play an audio in a second. Have a listen to it, and we'll give you a chance to come back. When Gerry was speaking to us a number of years ago, he made this following accusation. It's in relation to 1984.
It was very hot, and I had a water bottle, and the water bottles were on the right-hand side of the road, and I was rambling up the left-hand side of the road. And I said to myself, the 5 miles, we should have come across a feed station by now, but suddenly it dawned on me that it was across on the other side. I found that my bottle, which was distinctively coloured, I couldn't find anywhere on the table, so I grabbed somebody else's. It turned out to be an Italian who was clearly behind me, so I drank his, and I discovered it was water I was drinking, so that was fine, so I drank his all the way. In the meantime, somebody else drank mine. The person who drank mine was John Tracy, because John Tracy couldn't find his, and he knew that mine was water, so he drank mine. Which is fine, because it's dog eat dog when you're out there. I mean, let's be friends afterwards. But during a race, if Tracy got in my way, I'd have pushed him aside, and vice versa. You know, so we can be friends and buddies afterwards, but not during a race.
John, is that allegation news to you?
No, it's not. It's absolutely right. It's true and true, without a shadow of a doubt. Gerry summed it up very, very well. When the gun goes off, it's man against man, and you go for it. And actually, I was with the lead group, and I'll tell you exactly what happened. Is there was a number of Kenyan athletes up front, and they absolutely wiped the bottles off the tables early on. And any time I went for my bottle was always gone. Right, so I went for the water, which was Gerry's bottle. So that's all true. I can't deny that one. Yeah.
Did he say it to you after the race?
No. I think I probably told him. So, yeah. But that's the way it was. I knew Dick Cooper was drinking, I think it was tea he had or something like that. So we weren't going to go near that anyway.
As a teacher, he just was, he was unconventional as a teacher in ways. He looked after the 3 R's. He came in with the arrival of the new curriculum, you know. Now, Gerry looked after the basics, but the peripheral things. Now, Gerry wouldn't make the school choir now. he wouldn't be doing art. Now, in the early days, he did his preparation, all the paperwork and all that kind of thing. But as time went on, he relied on his own intuition, and it was lack of, you know, when we used to have a whole school evaluation, the big job blob Gerry was to get Gerry with the paperwork, and Gerry was well got by all the female teachers, and they did all the paperwork for him, and he brought them in sweets and all that kind of thing, you know. and another thing, if I could say to you, the roll book then, that was a sacrosanct in the early days in the schools, you know. You'd have to call the roll, you know. Gerry, that was a waste of time as far as Gerry was concerned. And an inspector came into the room to the office one day, and I knew he was a big guy and all paperwork and that kind of thing. So I said, God almighty, if he goes on with your jury. So as soon as he left the office to do his tour, I sent the secretary down for the roll book. The roll book hadn't been called for about 6 months. So I'm the secretary myself spent about half an hour running it up. And another story I heard from one of the teachers recently, there was another, I think it was after my time, but there was a whole school evaluation, and the roll book was a great point, and they warned jury, have your roll book up to date. And it was discovered anyway, jury got it up to date, but he had called the roll a week in advance.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And there are many more which aren't suitable for airing on the airwaves.
Oh, that's great to hear. Dawn, look, finally, I can hear it in your voice, you'll miss him a lot.
I do. And another thing, Joshua, before I go, there was a friend of mine who had no interest in sport at all, and he rang me at the weekend, and he says, Jesus, Donald, who's this Kieran fella, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I said, in international athletics, he said, he's a man who is joined the elite group of sub-4 and little miles, and he is an Olympic champion. In Dublin, he's the marathon champion. To aspiring athletes not prepared to do their work, as a coach, he is to be avoided, and as a pundit, to be dreaded. To GAO, passionate man like myself, he's a contradiction. And to the pupils and teachers and parents in Fox Rock, he's God.
Paddy, what was it like having one of Kerry's best ever athletes, one of Ireland's best ever athletes, as your father?
Well, I mean, I'd say if you ask myself or my brother, you know, it was the most ordinary thing to us. You know, it was only when we kind of got to school and you realised, well, you know, you talk to someone else in class and it's like, you know, your dad isn't an Olympic athlete, is he not? You know, your dad doesn't run 20 miles a day, does he not? You know, and like for us here, it was very, very ordinary. You know, it was the normal thing to see him, you know, have his porridge in the morning, go out for a run and then go out for another run after work. Just all that stuff that athletes do, you know, just, and also as well, all the other athletes coming through the house constantly. It was just very, very normal to us. And, you know, almost run the mill, I'd say, almost.
Did you or your brother ever join him for a run?
Now, there was a time about 10 years ago or so where I was trying to get into running, you know, and I was like a 30-year-old man. And I would do 5 miles in the morning. But, I mean, at a 9 minute a mile pace, I mean, I would say there was never a chance I'd ever be able to actually keep up with him if he was doing, you know, a proper pace himself. You know, even in his mid-60s, I still would not have been able to keep up with him at all. Just much too fast for a mere mortal like myself.
In recent years, used he continue running?
Yeah, he was running, just running, I think, kind of recreationally until a couple of years ago, and then he had to stop, and then he kind of moved towards just kind of walking and keeping active. But he was always very involved in the coaching side of things up until the very end, really. Even with the social distancing, he would, you know, keep an eye on his groups, like on WhatsApp or whatever like that, just making sure that everyone was sticking to their routines as best as they could.
Paddy, in recent days, something that really came to mind, a lot of people have been saying it, and even listening back to an interview your late father did with Weeshie back in 2012, your late father's honesty really came across. Was that something that was evident in his day-to-day life?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, there was never any hair on my dad's tongue. I'm sure if you asked John Travers or something like that himself, he would say the exact same thing. And the highest praise that I think I could ever get in my entire life would be my dad saying, Patrick, that was good. Better than a million awards from anyone else. That really meant something, you know. It was just a very, very honest and direct person. And whether you saw him on TV or whether you were speaking to him face-to-face, he was the same guy.
He was the same as a coach and as a pundit as he was a father.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, a few months ago, you know, I started, you know, teacher training myself, you know, follow him into the family business. And I was actually teaching in his old school. And so for a while, I was Mr. Kieran, which felt very strange. Mm. But he would speak to the the teacher who was working with me every day to get an honest appraisal of what I was like in class. And after that, he'd say to me, you know, "Oh, Patrick, I hear you're doing well," or whatever. When I heard that, it was just, you know, he was just being very honest about it. And when I heard that, I knew that actually things were going well. You know, I didn't have to worry about him, you know, trying to save my feelings or anything like that. Yeah. That was just definitely the kind of guy he was.
He was a proud Kerry man as well, Paddy.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Even though he'd been living here in Dublin for so long, he was never a Dub. He was always a Kerryman, and, you know, proudly from Brosna, even though he lived most of his childhood in the Stowe, but absolutely 100% a Kerryman. And, you know, like I heard another guest saying earlier, he would always be down regularly visiting my granny, visiting my auntie Eileen down in the Stowe, and as well, just I think as a person, you know, I think Kerry just had a very big influence on him. Yeah, it's hard to describe him, so intangible, but I can't really think of him as anything other than a Kerryman.
Yeah. Over the past few days, Paddy, you and your family, you've had a chance to grieve. I suppose you've been reminiscing about some great times as well with your father.
Absolutely. I mean, and there were so many. I mean, we all know the big stories, you know, like him in the Olympics or winning Dublin City Marathon or anything like that. But I was actually thinking about, there was a time once where it was myself and him, and we were on the seafront at Bray. And now, I don't know if you know it, but it's an area full of amusement kind of places, you know, with bumper cars and stuff like that. And there's me and him on the seafront at Bray. It's a very quiet day, and there was a place of bumper cars, and I wanted to go in. And so myself and my dad, we walk in, and it's empty. The bumper cars aren't on. There's no customers. There's no one working there. But I still want a go on the bumper cars. And, you know, ordinarily, I think a lot of dads would say, "You know what, son, there's no one here. Let's go." But my dad, being the man he was, actually went into the back and started flicking all these switches, trying to get the bumper cars to work for me, so I could have a go on the bumper cars on my own. And it was something that, you know, I hadn't thought about in, I don't know, more than 30 years. But the memory just kind of came flooding back to me when I was thinking about my dad and about the times we had. Yeah.
That's a beautiful memory, Paddy. And I know it's one that, over the past few days, that you've cherished a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.